My name is Rich Patsios. I'm a retired elder worshiping at Faith United Methodist Church in Clay, Alabama. It is my honor and privilege to share my thoughts on our scripture readings for this week. Let us pray. Most gracious, powerful, and loving God, we come here seeking more knowledge of your holy word. As we read and as we listen, we pray that your Holy Spirit enter into our hearts, minds, and souls so that we might increase our understanding of your word and discern more fully how to apply it into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The readings for this week call out David to me. He's one of my heroes of the faith, but not everyone shares that opinion. I once was in a Bible study with a man who couldn't stand him. He felt David was a violent, bloodthirsty, immoral tyrant. He had plenty of scripture to back up his claim. Nevertheless, David is central to the Old Testament readings for this week. I can identify with David because he and I have a lot in common. We both have faith. We both mess up. To set the context, we need to remember from the scriptures we read last week. In them, we learn that David, along with his band of men, were being sought out by Saul, who planned to kill him. Saul pursued him without mercy. However, on two separate occasions, the tables were turned, and David had the opportunity to exact revenge on Saul, but did not do so out of loyalty to the Lord's anointed one. This is all the more impressive when we consider that David had already been anointed by Samuel to replace Saul. Also, when Nabal mistreated David and his men after they had protected his shepherds and flocks, David, who wanted to kill Nabal out of revenge, listened to his wife Abigail, who diplomatically persuaded him not to do the deed. He was so impressed with Abigail and her wisdom, he took her as his wife after Nabal had died. So we pick up on that story in this week's readings. 1 Samuel 27, 11-12 tells us, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than to escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand. So David set out and went over, he and the 600 men who were with him, to King Achish, son of Maok of Gath. While he was there, he sacked several cities of his own country. And to continue, Achish trusts David, thinking he has made himself utterly abhorrent to his people Israel. Therefore, he shall always be my servant. So we see that David had given up on running from Saul and trying to gain his favor. Instead, he sought refuge among the Philistines. During that time, David gained favor with the Philistine king Achish by sacking several Hebrew towns. However, when a big battle with Saul's forces loomed, Achish, caving to the complaints from his own generals, did not let David fight with him. But he sent him to wait out the battle in David's own Philistine village of Ziklag. While he was headed back to Ziklag, a band of Hebrews attacked and burned down the town. They carried off all the wealth of the town, all the sons and daughters, and both David's wives. David consulted Abiathar the priest for a word from the Lord on whether he should go after the raiders. The Lord responded in 1 Samuel 38, Pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. David successfully attacked the Hebrew force and regained all the property and people, including his wives. Then David displayed his penchant for loyalty to God and his men once again. After the battle, there was plenty of loot to be shared. The men with him didn't want him to share any of that with the men who had stayed back at Ziklag. 1 Samuel 30, verses 23b through 24, says he, that is the Lord, has preserved us and handed over to us the raiding party that attacked us. Who would listen to you in this matter? For the share of the one who goes down into the battle shall be the same as the share of one who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. So David shared the spoils of battle with the men who had been too exhausted to go into battle and had guarded David's supplies. In addition, he shared some of the spoils from his victory over the Amalekites with the very Hebrew towns he had sacked earlier. In that way, David made atonement for those earlier attacks. In the meantime, the Philistines had defeated Saul and his men in a great battle. Saul was wounded by an arrow and fell on his sword in order to keep the Philistines from capturing him alive and making sport of him. He couldn't quite complete the suicide and asked one of his Amalekite men to finish him off. After the battle, the Amalekite sought David to tell him the story, relating how Saul had asked him to kill him. In 2 Samuel 1, 9 and 10, and 14 through 16, it tells us, "He said to me, 'Come stand over me and kill me, for convulsions have seized me, and yet my life still lingers.' So I stood over him and killed him, for I knew that he could not live after he had fallen. I took the crown that was on his head and the armlet that was on his arm, and I have brought them here to my lord." David said to him, "Were you not afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" Then David called one of the young men and said, "Come here and strike him down." So he struck him down and he died. David said to him, "Your blood be on your own head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have killed the Lord's anointed.'" Once again, David showed loyalty to the Lord's anointed. His response may seem bloodthirsty, but he held the Amalekite to the same standard he applied to himself when he had the opportunity to kill Saul. Once again, David sought the will of the Lord. He wanted to know if he should return to Judah. The Lord's response was that he should go to Hebron. He settled there, and the people came to him and anointed him king of Judah. However, he wasn't recognized as the king of Israel at that time. Saul's son, Ishbaal, was named king there, and war existed between the two kingdoms for several years. Now let's consider all that David had gone through: being hunted down by Saul for no reason, having his wives carried off, enduring constant fighting, not just with the Philistines, but at times even with his own people, and enduring years of conflict and duplicity in trying to unite the Hebrew tribes. Despite this, David didn't lose his faith in God. Listen to what he said in Psalm 141, verses 8 and 9. "But my eyes are turned toward you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Do not leave me defenseless. Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me, and from the snares of evildoers." David may have had his faults, but he still trusted in and counted on God. As the conflict between Judah and Israel wore on, Abner, a principal general of Ishbaal's kingdom, approached David to make a covenant with him and end the war. Unfortunately, David's general Joab located Abner and murdered him to avenge the death of Joab's brother Asahel in the Battle of Gibeon. Once again, David expressed loyalty to Abner and indirectly to Israel by arranging a very public funeral with mourning by everyone on Abner's behalf. David's response convinced the Israelites he had no ill intent towards them. Then, some of the remaining Israelite military leaders decided to side with David. They killed Ishbaal while he slept, beheaded him, and took his head to David. 2 Samuel 4, 8-12 tells us, "They brought the head of Ishbaal to David at Hebron and said to the king, 'Here is the head of Ishbaal, son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. The Lord has avenged my lord the king this day on Saul and on his offspring.' David answered Rechab and his brother Baana, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, 'As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life out of every adversity, when the one who told me, 'See, Saul is dead,' thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him at Ziklag. This was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more then, when wicked men have killed a righteous man on his bed in his own house? And now, shall I not require his blood at your hand and destroy you from the earth?' So David commanded the young men, and they killed them." Once again, David responded with consistent loyalty to the house of Saul and to the Lord's anointing. And how did that turn out? We see in 1 Chronicles 11, 1-3, "Then all Israel gathered together to David at Hebron and said, 'See, we are your bone and flesh. For some time now, even while Saul was king, it was you who commanded the army of Israel. The Lord your God said to you, "It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over my people Israel." So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel, according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. Now that all of Israel and Judah were united, David took the city of Jerusalem and made it his capital. His consistent loyalty to God had come to a positive end. And that brings us to this week's gospel readings, which come from the book of Matthew. Echoes of David's struggles can be seen in the life of Jesus' disciple Peter. Perhaps you and I can identify with him too. He was a man of great faith who didn't get it right all the time. Our scripture reading describes one night when the disciples were caught out in the Sea of Galilee in their boat during a windstorm. They were terrified. Jesus called to them as he walked on the water toward the boat in Matthew 14:28-31. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Like David, Peter put himself into a terrifying situation. Like David, he occasionally lost sight of the Lord. This was one of those times. But like David, he called out to his Lord and Jesus saved him. But Peter's great faith was rewarded later. Matthew 16:13b-19. He asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In other Gospels, Jesus immediately chastised Peter when Peter rejected the idea of Jesus having to be killed. But that's in another day's reading. Let's continue. What can we take away from this week's readings? It's impressive to me that a fairly consistent theme could be seen throughout this week's readings in the Old and New Testaments. First, being faithful does not mean we will have a smooth road. Jesus told us in Matthew 10, beginning with verse 34, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household." Problems beset David. Problems beset Peter. Problems beset us now. Second, what I hope you have gleaned from the readings is that we are not alone with our problems. God calls us to be faithful. In their own ways, both David and Peter were faithful. Both David and Peter did some rather stupid things too. I'm guilty on that count also. I trust you are as well, at times. The wonderful message God leaves us is that despite our shortcomings, God can use us to accomplish great things in the kingdom. David was called a man after God's own heart. Peter was the rock upon which the church was built. Think of what you and I can accomplish in spite of ourselves if we are merely faithful. If flawed people such as David and Peter can still be faithful and ultimately maintain a stance of seeking to follow God's will, we can too. By familiarizing ourselves with God's word, we can move toward following God more closely, more faithfully. The Bible may have been written thousands of years ago, but this week's readings show that it is a document for us today, not just for the biblical personalities of their time. Its truths apply to us. If we consistently follow after God, our efforts will not be fruitless. God shows time after time that God can and will use people like us, complete with all our foibles, to accomplish divine purpose. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. May we pray. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for giving us your holy word. Please allow us to be open to the guidance of that word for our own lives. Your word has power. Help us to be compliant to what you are leading us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed day.